to How to Medieval, the how-to where two guys show you how to do it between the two of them. My name is Ari.
And I'm Matt.
And today we are going to talk about Caveat Emptor, the much more appropriate title that Matt provided me than what I was going to go with originally. And what we're talking about today is when you get a bad deal online. So as I am very vocal about, I'm not a maker. I like to say that I channel my inner noble and I stimulate economies by purchasing things from other people who make them. I am a consumer. I really hate making things and I'm not terribly good at them. So I buy them. Well, when you make your own things, well, your quality control is effectively limited only by your skill and your willingness to redo things that you screw up. But when you buy things online, you run into the risk of getting things that don't necessarily achieve your expectations. And today we're going to talk a little bit about that and some of our anecdotes, that experiences we've had that might illuminate a future deal that you might be able to avoid, and some of our thoughts about this entire subject as a whole, because we've talked about it a little bit in the past, but never specifically focused on bad deals without necessarily like shaming anybody.
And this is a great tie-in to one of our past episodes, actually a Todd and Ari episode, not a Ari and I episode, but it was basically episode 5, and it was buy or make. And there's some great discussions going on in that episode, sort of doing the pros and cons of buying versus making. And it talked about how there's a vast industry of medieval makers, I guess we can call them, out there. There's, you know, high end, mid range, lowest of the low end. And sometimes you see a deal and you're just like, how can I pass this up? Well, maybe you should.
Yeah, sometimes you really should pass it up. But we have done it. We have been lured in by the siren's call of a, you know, and here's the thing, like, especially the higher end stuff that you're talking about, Matt, like, it can be so expensive, and it is so alluring to try and nab something that is out of your price range at something that you can afford. And it's hard to resist the temptation to get something, especially when you are so convinced in your own head that you're going to get such a great deal out of it, and you're going to get so many miles out of it, and it's going to just notch up your impression by this much. And it's easy. It's really easy sometimes to talk yourself into a purchase you should not have made.
And we've become such an instant gratification society that it's sort of ingrained with us that it's hard to wait. It's hard to, you know, stop and save up for something to get what you really want. So you see that deal and you're like, oh, I'm going to get it now. And it's going to be the same. I mean, look at the pictures. It's the same. We've all seen it. We've all seen pictures on like eBay and they look really nice. And most of the times, of course, they're stolen pictures. They're not even representation of what's actually being made. Every once in a while, you get sort of the, yeah, you know, I want to call it like the used car dealer of armor and gear, where it's like they have a picture of something that they did actually make. And it looks really, really nice. And this is like the showroom model of, yeah, I made this. See how nice it looks. But I'm only selling it for a quarter of the price of what the other guys do. And then you get the actual item and it looks absolutely nothing like what you ordered. It looks absolutely nothing like what the picture is. And it's because it's like they're just pumping them out. It's like a rush job. So it's like that they have the really nice thing that they did make and it's there. And this happened to me. This actually happened to me. I took a chance. I really wanted full set of legs with brass plated knees. Like to emulate gold plated knees. Because you see those in a lot of later medieval artwork. So I really wanted them. I looked and I found eBay. They looked amazing. And then I got them. And there is no possible way any human on this planet could have ever worn these things on their legs.
Oh. See, and you know, you made an interesting point about people who churn stuff out. A lot of times, you know, you'll see a product photo and it will be their work, as you said, but then you get to this point where they have, you know, this is something that might have happened in the background that you aren't aware of, but they started making them themselves. They got a reputation and enough business that their supply did not meet the demand, and then they found ways to try and increase production, which in the armoring world tends to revolve around outsourcing some of your work to Indian armorers, and then either just giving them the molds to make it your way, or having them make the blanks that you finish off, and that can sometimes erode the overall quality. And if you don't do have a strong quality control process and you direct ship any of your things that you were like, well, I showed them how to make it so they know how to make it right, and they deliver straight from, or they have, you have some sort of warehouse that where each individual item isn't looked at, you can get duds that come through. And that is hard to reconcile when you see a good picture online. And eBay is a whole different story. You know, eBay is definitely the Wild West when it comes. It's second only to Facebook Marketplace when it comes to trying actually getting what it is you think you're going to get. So a lot of times you get to these problems where someone gets big enough that what you're receiving isn't necessarily what they've made, even though you know they can make good stuff, which is frustrating because you don't know that. Most of them don't tell you that.
And I can hear a lot of people right now in the back, you know, through the magic of my ears reaching through the internet here. I can hear people sort of grumbling and saying, oh yeah, Indian armor, it's the way. Indian armors get a bad rap because there are a number of them out there who just pump out work. They don't care about the quality. They don't care about if it actually looks like what they're selling. They're just putting it out there, getting money. There are actually some good Indian armorers out there who work with people and try to make a better product. You got to find them. That's the one of the big problems. But there are a few out there that are actually doing really nice and really solid work.
Well, I think one of the issues you have with Indian armorers is that most people who make armor in India aren't reenactors. They just happen to fall into something that makes them money, and there's so many people there that just need to work, and a dollar here goes so far there that a lot of stuff gets outsourced to them. So they're just learning to make things that people tell them to make. And if you don't happen to have found, or you're not lucky enough to have found an armorer who was taught how to make this armor by someone in America, especially like someone who's outsourcing the blanks to an Indian armor and then bringing it back, you have some of these Indian armorers who go, oh, well, you know, I saw someone down the street making armor, I can make that too. And they fail to have that, what you call the correct eye. You know, they don't understand the medieval aesthetic. And so you get things that aren't shaped correctly or aren't made with the consideration that we would have thought goes into making armor, because they entered the armoring market in a completely different, from a completely different path than most, say, hobbyists who become armorers.
Basically, most of them that make this, they're not armorers. They're production line workers.
Yeah.
They have the set patterns of what they're making, and somebody does these rivets and somebody puts this piece on and things like that. So finding the ones that have actually worked with people to make sure their designs are getting well replicated, it's hard, but they are out there. I've actually gotten a couple of the gauntlets I use are Indian made gauntlets, but they're actually made to measurements to my hand. I sent him my measurements, and he made these gauntlets to fit my hand, and they fit and work perfectly nice, and they've lasted me quite a while too. So don't just discount something because it's Indian. You got to dig a little further, of course. I mean, we all know the big Indian mass producers like Nautical Mart or Nautical King, or it changes its name every 6 months because it's getting
asked to every time it gets sued.
Yeah, exactly. You don't ever buy anything from that. Don't trust that just because something is being sold on an established and well-regarded platform that what you're gonna get is quality. Like Ari said, eBay is the Wild West. I basically don't buy anything that's coming from a quote-unquote eBay store. I always, if I go eBay, I'm looking for lightly used secondhand sales where they're taking their own pictures. It's still a little bit of a gamble, but it's less of a gamble than buying from some of these established armor stores. Unless it's mail. My mail comes from India. It's not the greatest mail in the world, but you know what? It's serviceable, it works, and it doesn't cost all that much. Indian mails, they kind of got that production line mail making down. So,
well, they have production mail down. So that's one of my caveat emptor stories is, so there's a difference between getting a mail shirt. If you just want a generic hauberk from, say, All Best Stuff, which is a large Indian manufacturer of riveted mail, you're going to get a bog standard wizard sleeve hauberk. It's not going to fit particularly well, but it will be shaped like a shirt and it'll be at a price most people can afford. What you run into trouble with is when you have people who try and say that they're going to make you tailored mail who have no idea how to tailor mail. I have had two of my worst experiences with mail have been Indian-made mail, and they have been people who said they could tailor sleeves for me. And that's like the holy grail kind of armor that I really need is a pair of tailored mail sleeves, but I have these ridiculous monkey arms. My,
I was going to say, Ari, in their defense, you are rather shaped like an orangutan.
I really am. It's awful. I'm like, I probably, if you actually gave my measurements to a doctor, I'd probably qualify for Marfam on some scale somewhere, but I want my 37-inch sleeve length, just, it doesn't fit into anything. And trying to, like, find my elbow, because, like, the ratios between my wrist to elbow to shoulder joint, it's just, I'm not your typical size. And so I send people, even sending measurements off, you know, I really want those full male sleeves. I've almost convinced myself that it's just better off to go get my, make myself some voiders out of these giant piles of mail that I have that don't fit. And I send people these measurements, and that nothing ever has ever come in that's made any sense. They just don't fit. They don't. And what bothers me most about most of them is that both times they came back, they wouldn't fit anyone. I don't know. At some point, I can only have mismeasured myself so many times to get the same thing, to get two different sleeves that fit poorly in two completely different ways. I feel fairly confident that I'm sending normal measurements off to people. But one was Facebook. Just the person, all you can do is find them on Facebook. They don't have a store, they don't have a website. And they were recommended by a friend. Their friend had gotten mail from them and had gotten semi-tailored mail from them. So I said, okay, this guy can probably make me a pair of sleeves. And it took a really long time. It took almost 10 months, which you usually expect things to be a little faster from the production line people than from like some guy in an American garage who's making them by hand. It took a very long time. I could have had a baby in the time it took me to get these sleeves, not including the shipping time, just from when I ordered them until he said that he sent them. And then they didn't fit very well. And there was, you know, an offer to remake them, but then there was a whole lot of money I wasn't willing to respend on these, and it just kind of got to the point where we stopped talking to each other. Not because, like, angry. I mean, I was upset, but it's not like one of us had to block the other. It's just the conversation kind of dead-ended with, I'm going to cut my losses here. And the second time around, I decided to go through a larger group, and I went through All Best Stuff. So at the time, and we said, you know, try not to shame people, but at the time, All Best Stuff had a picture of Tom Billiter himself in his own sleeves as the product photo for their mail sleeves, like tailored mail sleeves. And so I sent them a message. I was like, hey, I know, like, I personally know this guy, and I know this isn't your work. And so what are you doing with these mail sleeve things? And he told me that they had decided to get into making mail sleeves, and they hadn't produced one yet, so they needed a picture. And so they found this picture and put it up. And it wasn't meant to represent their work yet, just it was meant to represent the product. And so I offered to be a test run on their first go at a slightly reduced rate. And what they sent me was very odd. It didn't fit, and it didn't fit in a completely different way than the other one didn't fit. And he was much more, and this is, again, what I've been told was very unusual for, because people have worked with the guys from All Best Stuff before. He was really, really rude, and I did not send them back for refurbishment and did not send him any more money, mostly because of the way he treated me online. It was, I don't know if he was bitter that I had called him out on the photo or not, but those were my two big male experiences. And at this point, I don't recommend getting tailored mail from overseas. There might be someone in the Ukraine, because there's a lot of good Ukrainian and Russian armors, but not a lot of them are in mail. They're mostly in plate, and they mostly sell to like HMP guys. But I would not personally, I would say get the generic stuff from them that they're really good at producing, and then if try and tailor them down from there. But those would be my two big experiences with Indian mail. The mail itself, however, was always like quality. Like it, all the rivets stayed on like they were supposed to. It didn't shed rings. It didn't fall apart. It didn't have huge gaps in it. So the actual physical construction of the mail was quality, which is why I will always recommend going and getting generic shaped and sized mail from these reputable mail armors online, especially from over in India, because their prices are very difficult to compete with.
And anything in sort of a defense, anything like that is going to work out better if you can actually be there being fitted to you while it's being made.
I agree with that.
It's mail's tricky that way, especially when you get into the fitted stuff. But no, it's, you're right. There are reasons to not do that. And that's a very good reason to not get tailored mail overseas, because there's a good chance you're not going to get anything that fits you. And you might luck out. I'm actually very lucky whenever I get mail. I'm one of those like sort of body shapes and sizes where basically almost everything off the rack fits me, and I don't know why. But it does. I did have I bought that mail through eBay once, and I basically read the measurements wrong. So it's like I don't remember exactly what it was, but like the chest measurements, I didn't read it right. And I basically got this shirt that I could fit maybe half my body into if I tried.
Oh.
It's like there's no possible.
You bought a sleeve, you didn't buy a shirt.
Basically, I bought the sleeve. It was too short too. It was sort of like an 80s male crop top that would have fit somebody half my size. But what I was the point I was trying to make about, you know, being wary, even if it's stuff being sold through a quote unquote trusted source, like a lot of this stuff, these same companies that sell on eBay, you can buy it directly through Amazon. It's amazing what is sold through the Amazon marketplace. And a lot of people are like, oh, well, you know, it's through Amazon. Amazon would, you know, have my back or something like that.
I don't know anyone who's interacted with Amazon that thinks Amazon has their back.
I've had some pretty good interactions with Amazon of getting my money back on things. A couple of them were medievalish type things that I bought years ago that came, and they were basically either... The problem with Amazon, it either has to be so completely different looking than what you ordered. Like, I ordered a ball and I got this cube.
I don't know if I've ever gotten something that different before. That is pretty extreme. I don't think I have at least gotten something that matches the picture.
I don't know. One of the most recent things you got didn't really match the pictures.
But I didn't get that off Amazon.
That's true.
From Amazon, I always get something that at least resembles the picture.
And a lot of this, Ari and I can talk about this, and we're not trying to be like, so don't do this because we know better. It's just we have vast experience in this. Like, we've wasted so much money buying things that that's shouldn't. And a lot of it has come from searching out that deal, wanting to look better and searching out that deal, and then realizing there's no cheat. There's no hack. There's no medieval armor hack or medieval gear hack where you can get something that is cheap and still looks the way it's supposed to look.
You know, it reminds me of what you were saying earlier in the episode about being patient. So there's an internal, a constant internal struggle in that I, you know, strongly advocate only getting quality things. And as it's been said, you know, buy it nice or buy it twice. Right. And, but at the same time, I haven't finished my harness to my satisfaction. And I started doing medieval stuff like 10 years ago. Right. And there's always been something life changing that has prevented me from just dumping as much money into it as I otherwise would or could if I had was maybe in a different, you know, socioeconomic bracket. And then you go around, you turn around and you tell yourself, well, a harness or an impression is a lifelong thing. We always talk about how an impression is never done. You can always be improving. But I can totally empathize, because I suffer from it myself, of wanting to get to at least like my mental image baseline. Like there's a floor at which like I feel like I've made it, and then at that point I'm no longer creating an impression, I'm improving an impression. And it is very difficult to ignore the call to hit what you have made as a baseline for yourself, especially when you've been waiting for it for a long time.
And I really think if you're going to buy stuff, if you're trying to save money and buy stuff, look for gently used items. Because you can save a bit of money doing it that way. It's harder because you got to wait and you got to search and you got to look instead of just going directly to a website and, you know, clicking buy now and having it shipped to you. But you really can get some nice stuff. Almost all of my stuff lately has been purchased, like clothes, the soft kit, not my armor, but most of it has been purchased secondhand because I don't have the extra money to buy all brand new stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my struggle, and I'm certain there's people out there who struggle with it in different directions, is, as we've talked about, my proportions are funky. So it's off-the-shelf stuff is very difficult to find. There's like, at this point, I have identified the people whose stuff I can fit into, and I just have to wait for them to buy new stuff so that I can then buy their old stuff. Like, I just have to sit there and watch. Like, there's two people that I watch, and I just wait for them to get something new, because then hopefully that means that something of their old is going to go on sale. I'll take it.
Is that why you were feeding them donuts at Days and Nights here?
Yeah, absolutely. They have to stop fitting into things. Or maybe I should stop eating the donuts so I can fit back into their things.
Oh, come on, Ari. You don't fall into that cliche.
Oh. Which cliche? The donut cliche?
Yeah. Pop donut.
They're called power rings, if you don't mind. The shop talk for you there. Yeah, power rings. We don't use the D word when we're at work, only at home.
Sorry, folks, this is going to take a minute. Oh, anyway, so other than the mail, what's the worst buy do you ever think you made, Ari?
Most recently it was trying to get a pair of cased greaves and sabatons. And it was during so while we record this, I'm still trying to work through some sort of resolution with the person who sold it to me, who seems to be really eager to work with me. So I'm holding out hope that we'll come to some sort of accord, even if that just means reimbursement and shipping them back. I suspect all of this will have been resolved by the time this episode airs, so I don't want to be too critical. However, there was a fairly well-known clearance sale recently, and a cased greaves and sabatons were amongst the things that this person sold. Now, I understood who his target market was, and that was Battle of the Nations type people. I also acknowledged that the only size that they had that was tall enough also had a almost comically large calf measurement to it. I reasoned to myself that, well, maybe I could just bulwark the knees and it'll help fill up the space. I know that they aim to accommodate people with padding, so there should be plenty of room for me. I just need it to go tall enough. And so I bought them on that clearance sale, and they showed up. And what was the hardest part about them was that I have two legs that are, as far as I can tell, shaped fairly much the same, because they're both legs. and they are legs of equal size and equal length, more or less. But the greaves I got were not the same shape. One of them was not shaped the same as the other. So one of them didn't actually close because it was flat over the shins and didn't have enough curvature to even close around a leg. And the other one, it closed, but there were just the hinges were off. And so there was like a gap at the top and overlap at the bottom. And since there was an overlap at the bottom, they wouldn't open all the way. And the calf measurement was big, but all of the bigness that happened was done wide and not around. So it was super flat on the top of the shin and just sort of these bulbous sides where the calf muscle, I guess, I don't know how a calf muscle that big goes out and not back, but it was just, and for how big it was around the top, it was literally snug to the point where it was uncomfortable around my ankle. So it was super itty bitty at the bottom. I don't know what actual like Renfair turkey leg type person has this itty bitty little ankle and this massive, this mammoth calf that just, how much padding do you use around only the top of your leg, your lower leg? I'm not sure I don't know what the thought process to making them shape that way. But the big thing is that the product photo didn't match what I got. The product photo had the line that you would expect from a proportionally correct lower leg. And what I got was not proportionally correct. I suspect that if all of the curves, even not perfect curves, but just proportionally correct curves that match what is in the picture on the website, but just in scale to fit someone with a taller and a wider leg, I suspect they would have fit just fine, to the point where even like having to adjust the buckles so that things lined up better might have been a reasonable concession. But the fact that they just didn't seem to conform to human bodies, I found that very frustrating. And I think the best that I'm going to expect to get here is my money back, which is nice because he's willing and really proactive about that. Some people really resist giving you your money back. But when it comes to purchasing things online, that is probably the worst so far, second only to buying a gambeson where the sleeves were very, 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 very tight. I literally had to cut them to even put them on. But the torso was correct.
And we're hoping this is a fluke because this is somebody that you did research on, and we both sort of know as having a.
Everything I've heard about this company is that it's good. You're going to get H&B stuff, so it's going to be a little oversized, and the shape isn't going to be to the point that you'd expect from someone who's doing living history armor, but at a higher price point. Everything I heard is everyone talked about how, oh yeah, I've got a set of his as loaners. They're great. You know, you throw them underneath anything. They really just sort of, they polish off any old kit and they'll get you through. Like everyone said they were great. And the picture, the proportions looked fine. And I suspected that they weren't going to fit perfect. I didn't want them to fit perfect because that's not what I was paying for. I was paying for something that was good enough. And I didn't get something that was good enough, which was very distressing. And he said he's going to check them to see if they were defective, which makes me think that perhaps they were shipped without having been looked at by him, that they were probably outsourced.
And this sort of goes into the reason he was having the liquidation sales, because he was saying that this was sort of a hobby business for him and it was getting too much. It was becoming too time consuming for him. And so that's why he was really downsizing to only focus on certain things, like the best sellers, basically.
Well, I know he's also didn't he transition to an Etsy shop for some of his semi-custom work too?
I think so. He was doing stuff. I know he has his own website and stuff, but yeah, so this is a person with a really, really great reputation.
Every person I've told that I had this experience with has been genuinely shocked.
I feel bad because I'm the one that actually showed it to Ari. I'm like, here, look, you need greaves, here.
Yeah, you got me all excited. I don't blame you though. I'm happy that you got me excited.
Wasn't one of the hinges put on upside down?
Oh, maybe. I know that the I know, well, one of the sabatons, it looks to me like there's a left and a right sabaton based on the heel plate, but it looks like it's two right toes.
Oh, huh.
Yeah.
Hopefully this is just a fluke and it gets figured out for you.
I hope so too. It just worries me because two separate items seem to have some major defects to them. Because we didn't the sabatons were less bothersome because so the heel plate, instead of being parallel to the side of the foot when they closed, they were just sort of rolled to be roundish. And so the edge of the plate went all the way back into your ankle when you actually buckled them closed. And that's something that I don't even need a hammer. I can just sort of, it's mild steel. I can pull on it, fix that, you know? But the fact that the sabatons were constructed, what looks like pretty, if they had just like straight toes and they were universal, and so they fit like straight lasted shoes, that'd be one thing. But the toes follow a turn shoe wherein they've got more on the small toe side and as sort of a shorter edge on the big toe side to sort of accommodate your foot, but they both point the same direction no matter which way you switch them around. And so it makes me worry that it's not so much of a fluke, that this might be the, and I worry that this is the end of his production line. He's just sort of trying to clear out, not just clearance of his stock, but just clear out everything, even the bad stuff. And that makes me worried, because that means that there's other people out there who may just accept what they get, or I don't know. I'm not sure where this is going. I very much hope that it goes a good place. I want someone who has a good reputation to maintain their reputation. I don't want to tear anyone down. And that same thing that happened with the Gleb and Alina thing, where the Gleb and Alina was a fairly popular online gambeson maker and tent maker. And I it was recommended to me by someone in my club. It was at the time I was the Kansas City Sword Guild had a bunch of gambesons in circulation on people in front. Like, I was sparring with them wearing Gleb and Alina's stuff. So what better endorsement could you get? What ended up happening is that they had actually like switched owners right before I ordered, and the new owner sucked and the old owner didn't. And so I had gotten a terrible gambeson by virtue of the fact that they were different people had bought this company. And so it's just, I hope that they can maintain, because I know that he wants to keep making armor, at least at a lower production point, that he doesn't feel overwhelmed by it. And I don't want, you know, it feels bad, like the idea that he's going to go off into the sunset with a tarnished on record. I don't want that for him. But at the same time, like, I work hard for my money, so I want the things I have that I spend those money on to be things I can actually use.
He works hard for the money. Yeah. Anyway, there's your musical interlude for today, folks. But this is something you were talking about earlier, about how sometimes these companies get too big too fast, and they can't really keep up, so the quality starts slipping. I mean, there's something to say that at least you got something that you can go back to and be like, hey, this isn't what I ordered. There's been Ukrainian armorers that basically just disappeared.
Yeah,
fly by nights are something I have not yet experienced.
I appreciate that.
And a lot of them aren't even fly by nights. A lot of them are just, they were armors who were making really nice stuff, really, really nice stuff at a really decent price point, not super cheap, but not super expensive. And basically everybody just started throwing money at them. And they're like, I can't do this. I can't keep up anymore. We're done. We're out. And instead of returning the money, but they ran away with the money.
Yeah, that's the problem, is when you say I have too many orders, it'll take me 2.5 years to finish these, I'm done. You finish what you already have money in hand for. You don't just stop, or you give the money back, one or the other. But
that's actually something that plagues the SCA on a regular basis, is people, hobbyists basically, getting really good at what they do. They're suddenly, they're like, well, I'm going to start my own armor business. And they start pumping out helmets, and they get popular. And then suddenly they disappear. Not to trash, but there's some well-known sort of unsavory characters' names within the medieval world that we all know. It's like, never buy from these people. Yeah, Brian Price was one of them. The guy Brand Lancaster out in California, who just, I mean, there are people who he closed his armory doors 15 years ago and they still don't have money or a helmet. And and he can't, he keeps popping up, like he keeps jumping from, first he was SCA, then he went to Bohurt, and then he jumped to the other Bohurt league. And it's like, because basically he keeps promising people stuff and taking their money and never delivering. And for some reason, he's never been nailed for it. I don't know how. He must be apparently very charismatic. But it's like, yeah, so this is something that, it isn't just something that plagues one corner of reenactor. It's the scale. I mean, there's businesses all through all of it that you got to be careful of, and that goes to talking to people in your group and learning from their experiences and listening to them tell you stories like we're telling you today for things we shouldn't have bought and unfortunately got bit for.
Yeah. And then, but then, of course, you also have to be willing to be at least open to working with someone honestly. And so what I mean by that is, you can get a recommendation from a group and it turns out not to work for you very well in the end. And it's based on your own personal conduct on what you can expect to get back from that exchange. So I do get very frustrated, obviously, but I also try not to, say flame people or come at them too hard. I will have an honest conversation with them about what I did get and what I expected to get. And I feel that has gone a long way. But if you look at these conversations online, sometimes they can be quite inflammatory. And the greatest way to not get your money back is to take someone who's trying honestly to get work done and flame them or publicly humiliate them, and then that does sort of erode your ability to get this person to want to help you resolve the issue, because then they can always fall back on, well, maybe I didn't give them the best stuff, but they were a terrible customer. And that's a great way to lose the high ground in your conversation.
Yeah, public humiliation for some reason has become like the weapon of choice for things. It's like, I didn't get what I want, so I'm just gonna completely drag this person and humiliate them. And that's really, while you'll probably have your supporters, guys behind you got your back, you're not really making yourself look all that great, to be honest.
It's not good. The only place I wanted to voice this most, the thing with the Sabatons was there's a group, but it's a private group for a particular company, a medieval living history company, that I knew just from scrolling Facebook that had posted a link to this clearance sale. And the only reason I posted there was because I did have this negative experience. And it was meant to simply be illuminating, not defamatory towards the company. And so that, but you don't put it up on the main Turnip of Terror page. You don't put people on blast in gigantic living history impression groups. You don't try and create a big deal about it in just for the sole purpose of getting like some sort of revenge or catharsis. I'm not sure where the inspiration to do that comes from. I just don't think it helps. It really helps to be polite. Get a lot with kindness.
I think a lot of it's probably a venting of frustration. We all have that frustrated moment where we vent. It's important to vent to the right people sometimes instead of, like you said, just putting them on blast on some public page somewhere. I do think there's something to be said with being honest. If somebody asks for opinions on dealing with a company, it's important to be honest and say, well, I have not had a very good experience with this company, but we're still working on it. It may come to a resolution. I don't know yet, but so far I've not had a good experience.
And to be fair, I've had a great experience with his customer service. I just haven't had a great experience with the product itself, which is nice because they're going back to some of my previous experiences with, you know, like All Best Stuff, I had a bad experience with the product and with the person that I was talking to. And so that was very difficult to remain as civil as I want. You know, it's harder to remain civil when you're both getting a bad product and getting somebody who's giving you flack for the fact that they gave you a bad product, which definitely makes you feel bitter about the situation.
And most people will, even if they get a bad product, if they get good customer service and they feel like they're coming to a, you know, a good ending on it, a good conclusion on it, they often will still recommend the company. It's something that happens all the time through almost every industry. You'll see it, you know, on Yelp or something, be like, well, you know, this burger I had was horrible, but the customer service was so good and they made up for it. They made me feel like they actually cared about their product and me being their customer, that, yeah, I'd go back there again and give them another try. Now they might only get one more try, but still, it's like I said, if people feel that somebody is making something right, then they're more likely to go back to them again, even if they weren't happy the first time.
I agree with that. And I've given people a second try based on them just being straight and fair with me. And that's been not just living history, but that's just in general. I respect customer service in absence of good product in differently than I do even like a good product, but like a jerk who sells it. I will honestly not buy good things from people if I can find the same or similar quality from somebody else. If there are people who are just not nice to you, and I just online, there's enough hostility that you just got to deal with people who are nice to you. And that means that you have to do what you can to be nice to people. Give the kindness you want to receive.
Exactly.
So even when you have negative experiences, still don't forget to be kind, because there's human beings involved. And they might be having, not that it excuses what they're doing necessarily, like, oh, well, it's okay that they, you know, gave you a bad product because they're having a bad time, but acknowledge that, you know, people can always be dealing with a struggle you know nothing about. And you hold your ground and get the product you want or get the refund you want, but you can still treat someone with respect while you're doing that.
And also remember, for a lot of these businesses, they're not large businesses. They are small and sometimes hobby businesses. So you might not get the instant reply to your message that you may be accustomed to when you get onto, you know, Amazon and you do a chat and say, I got the wrong product. So just give them a little time too. I'm not saying wait forever. Don't take months and things like that, but don't get angry if
15 years might be a long time for customer service response.
Exactly. It's like, don't get angry if it's, you know, you send somebody an email at 6 o'clock on a Friday night and you don't hear back until Monday. So it's okay. let them have their weekend too.
That's true. I know if I don't run a small business, not technically, I don't run a product business, but if I ran a product business and I chose a weekend day, you are certain that I will not be responding to things on my weekend day. Weekends are very important. You know, work-life balance matters even when you're self-employed, just as much as it is if you have a boss.
I don't respond to History Live Northeast emails on weekends. So
work-life balance is incredibly important.
Exactly. It's like, I'm there with my family. That's what I'm doing. But so yeah, be patient, be kind, talk to people, and just, I mean, I hate that. We know we hate the phrase, but do your research.
Good.
Research a company's reputation. You can easily, doing a Google search, usually come up with a fairly good idea whether or not it's a good company or not. And yeah, don't just save up. Take your time. Be patient. Don't rush out. And sometimes the silk purse is just a sow's ear, and that's what you're going to get because that's what you paid for.
Yeah.
And if you paid for more and didn't get it, don't be don't feel like you're imposing to ask for some sort of restitution or refund or reimbursement. You know, they, if you didn't get what you want, I mean, it's business. And yeah, you're doing business with a small business. It might be a hobbyist who is doing this in their free time because this is something they became good at in their hobby. But keep in mind that once the money is exchanged, once this is a business interaction, you are perfectly justified in treating it like a business transaction. And if it doesn't meet your expectations, get a resolution that works for you. If that means a mulligan on it, that's what refunds are for. If it means getting a replacement, if you feel comfortable paying for a modification or working some deal for some sort of resolution that works for you, don't shy away from that just because it's one guy running a business. They have chosen to run a business. So you can still treat them like a business, firm and fair and kind.
And for the love of God, always try to pay with something like PayPal or your credit card.
Mm-hmm. Anything that can be canceled as needed, yes. So that if you do get scammed, you have some way to go and combat that.
A lot, because a lot of times, yeah, if you just do like a bank transfer, you don't have any way to get your money back at all, basically. It's
also don't use your bank for anything that isn't a utility. Like, don't pay for anything directly from your bank, and don't use a debit card online. Just don't, like, period.
I've done a bank transfer to some people overseas a couple of times before, and thankfully I actually got what I ordered. But again, it's one of those, you got to make sure it's somebody you actually trust. And this was people that I've been talking to for years and knew them professionally and personally. So I trusted that I was actually going to get what they were saying.
Sure, but assuming your communication remains secure. That's the problem. Like, just general internet safety, anytime you have direct access to your bank account, it is a huge vulnerability. I know we're straying away from medieval talk, but seriously, if you are buying things online, use a merchant who has a vested interest in getting their money back if you get scammed. Your credit card company, PayPal, Venmo, if you put someone else's money at risk, then they have a vested interest in helping you resolve a scam. But if you plug the hose directly into your account and like the tap doesn't get turned off, then you're asking for your money back from the bank. So the bank is now, you have to convince the bank to give up their money to reimburse your money. Whereas if you buy with a credit card and they steal it, then they've stolen the credit card's money, and they're much more apt to like cancel and reimburse things that they don't want to pay for if you can articulate fraud. So just as a general tool, especially if you're buying stuff online, just debit cards are only for you, like seriously, ATMs and maybe your utility company, but there's no reason to be using a debit card online. It's very unsafe.
And also a lot of third party transfer agents like that don't offer any security either. Like Western Union does not offer any money back guarantee. If you use Western Union, your money's gone. So it's like always.
But see, then again, Western Union, a money transfer doesn't use their money. You've paid them in advance, so they're not out anything. They've received their fee, and the actual volume of financial loss is on you, which is why things like credit card companies and PayPal with merchant protection, you pay them for that. You pay them a percentage, and then they put themselves on the line with you. That's why those are so much safer than doing things as cash.
Ari, it's almost like you're a fraud expert.
I mean, I may or may not maintain a certification in fraud and cybercrime, but that's not the point here. Don't use your thing online. Don't use your debit card online.
Unless you want to send me money, then just send me your debit card. No, don't do that.
Especially if you don't care how much you send, just go ahead and send your debit card information along. Yeah. All right. Do you have any other anecdotes that you think will benefit the listeners at the moment?
I don't. I think we've come to the end of it.
Yes. And again, at some point I was joking in the beginning that, you know, you came up with a better title than griping. And I did a little bit of that. Like I managed to purge these demons. But the idea is that I want people to hear this story and not go, man, that all sucks, but go, okay, well, that's a here are some red flags that I can keep an eye out for myself, because I don't want anyone else to get into bad deals. In the same way that I don't want any of these businesses' reputations to be unnecessarily sullied, I also don't want any of you guys to be out money that you don't have to be if you can learn from this conversation that we had.
So if you also work hard for the money, go and give us 5 stars on whatever you listen to us on. It helps us get out there, get the beat the evil algorithm.
Yes, down with the algorithm, up with the stars.
Gets more episodes out to you folks. So like us, share us, 5 stars, follow us on Facebook, all the fun stuff.
Absolutely. And I want to thank Paul Butler for allowing us to use his music at the beginning of our episode here. Check out his stuff. His link to Paul Butler's medieval music is in the show notes below. And I appreciate you listening.
And somebody send us an email, please. Somebody send us an email question.
That would be fun. Especially if you send us a voice recording, we'll play it. I can edit it right in with the magic of technology.
You can be How to Medieval Famous.
That's true. You can be on the show and you don't even have to wake up early.
Exactly. Exactly.
All right. Thanks for listening.
Thanks, folks.
Bye.